Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, she's the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Improv, a French fry connoisseur, Miss Allie Mack. And over there, continuing the reign of the worst top five list in the history of the world, a creepy waiver and still without a car, but getting closer, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews. And look, we got good news. Hawks dominant win last night. We got a new kicker. I mean, Allie, what do we got going? New manager, too.
There's so much happening.
Got the new-new.
We got the new-new. Let's talk about some headlines because I want to try something new today. So here's what's happened since we last got to chat. The Hawks beat the Magic last night at home, 127 to 112. They play the Raptors on Friday, and Atlanta pregame is set for 7 right here on 92.9 The Game. First round of college football playoff rankings were released last night. Georgia lands at 5, 4 is Alabama, Texas A&M is 2. Indiana is the Buckeyes. Okay, so Indiana's number 2, and then the Buckeyes. Ohio State is number 1. If I said Ohio State was number 2, my mom would kill me. So it's just over a month until we get the final bracket. The Jets made a bunch of moves before the trade deadline. We'll get into all of those at 7:20, but Sauce Gardner is heading to the Colts. That is the one that directly affects us this Sunday. The Falcons have signed O-lineman Andrew Stuber to the active roster and long snapper Zach Treiner to the practice squad and corresponding moves. Parker Romo, Ben Salas have been released. The Falcons have not officially confirmed the signing of kicker Zane Gonzalez quite yet, but obviously we know that's going to be happening. So before we dive into the Falcons, guys, you want to try something new?
Let's do this.
I don't know. This is a lot of new in one day. I'm not sure I can handle it.
Let's do it.
Hey, we've already leaned into the new, so right. Let's keep it going.
Touche.
All right, so today's Which One Wednesday, which happens at 7:40.
That's right.
But I would love to invite our listeners to join in on this debate. Okay, so we're going to put this up, a poll on Twitter. You can also just react to it, put your 2 cents in on it. And I'm not going to let either of you answer the question until 7:40. Don't even make a peep about it, okay? Just use this time as time to go ahead and get your case ready together. Prepare your case. And I may not be the First Lady of Baseball for asking this question, but I'm asking this question.
Oh, boy.
Which team will Freddie Freeman go into the Hall of Fame for, Braves or Dodgers? It seems like an easy question until you really start to dig into things. So think about that. 7:40. We'll get into that. Fair?
I got my answer. Not going to give it to you, but I got it.
All right.
I'm going to talk now.
Yes.
I promised myself I wouldn't talk following your question, and I'm not going to answer that question until 7:40. I do have thoughts, but there are a couple of things I probably will look at in the next hour and a half before we get there.
I think you should.
You know what I mean? I'm very stuck in my opinion until you change my mind, as Steak always says. And I feel that way about this. Let's see what happens.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Falcons then. Made some roster moves yesterday. How are you feeling about these?
I feel great. Man, I said it yesterday. I said it the day before. Parker Romo would not be on the plane flight. And it's not a knock on Parker Romo. And I understand that kickers miss kicks and you can't pin the entire loss on him. But are we not dealing with a situation where there's been too much of it this season? It's a long flight. I said Monday, I said Sunday night when I was with Grant, this is the most important week of Raheem Morris's tenure. You simply cannot go over there and get your doors blown off by Indianapolis over there in Germany. You can lose the game and Raheem keep his job. You can, you know, all this other stuff. If you get beat by 3 touchdowns in Germany and have to make that plane flight home, that's going to be a bad deal, and it's hard to kind of climb out of that down the stretch run of this season when you look at it that way. So, yeah, I think you had to make this move. I think Zane Gonzalez, from everything that I've heard, is the guy. And good. We'll ride with him from here until he's not the guy and see what happens.
Look, you have to find consistency. Kickers do miss kicks. But you need kickers making the kicks that should be somewhat automatic for an NFL pro. And I feel like at times he hasn't done that. He's missed a few that to me were makeable kicks. And when you signed Parker Romo, you weren't looking for you were looking for better than 78%. You were looking for, you needed more, and you don't really know what his range is. Zane Gonzalez is a guy that he's going to have around 58, 59 in there in his range. I'm not saying he's going to be kicking 68 like Cam Little, all right, or whatever the guy is from the Dallas. I can never remember his name. But Brandon Aubrey with the freaking leg cannon. But this guy's Zane, you've seen him do it before. I'm pretty sure he was the kicker that we played against last year in Sunday Night Football in Washington. I think that was the guy. So, because I know he was on Washington at some point last year. The Stuber thing is interesting to me because he's by trade a tackle. Mike and I have talked that we think he's played some guard.
He did. He played both in the preseason. I went back and looked. He played both in the preseason. He played one game at guard, played two games at tackle in the preseason. So a little bit of both.
So that puts me in a mindset of what's going on. Storm Norton's been activated. I know that Bergeron and Lindstrom are banged up. And if he's coming in here as a guard, that's one thing. But Michael Jarrell's been inactive the last 2 weeks. And your swing tackle's been Jack Nelson, which I'm not trying to be hateful at 6-0-9 against Mike's brethren, but that don't make me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
No, I'm with you. You don't draft a seventh-round tackle and say, okay, he's going to start as a rookie or be a guy that has to play a bunch as a rookie. You draft a seventh-round tackle and you say, okay, that's going to be a project. Spend a year on the practice squad, see what we can get out of him, see if we can develop him. Maybe he can be a player for us 1 or 2 years down the road and start learning the game. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. I would be so curious to get the inside story of why Michael Jarrell has suddenly been inactive the last couple of weeks. He hasn't been on the injury report, and all of a sudden you're telling me that Jack Nelson jumps out in front of him. Maybe there's something to where Michael Jarrell Michael Jarrell played that second half of that game just a few weeks ago when Jake got hurt.
Yeah.
And he played at left tackle, and he was okay. They definitely had to, be cognizant of it in terms of the play calls and things like that. But when you go to a Jack Nelson being that swing guy, it's like, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, what happened with Michael Jarrell? But the Andrew Stuber thing, I think, just gives them some flexibility in both, in my opinion. Maybe that's why you do sign a guy like him, because he has played both here in recent memory. And if Storm, can't make the quick turnaround, maybe that's a position he can go with. He did, like I said, he played two games at tackle. Or maybe if a Lindstrom is down, you can let him roll from there. But, that's just one of those things. Flexibility to be able to play both like that is huge, especially on game day when you have these activations. If you have to throw another couple of players out there, and we have some injuries on defense that we're dealing with right now, and that allows another open roster spot on game day as well.
How difficult is it going to be for Zane or Andrew to jump on the plane and then head over to Berlin for this weekend?
Zane's easy. Zane is easy because
you're a kicker, your job.
You got your kicking shoes? Cool. All right, let's go. Because, they all, have their special shoe on that one foot. It used to be a little bit more of a thing, I think, than maybe it is now. They used to be barefoot guys. but Stuber, the fact that he's been in this system before, I think is easier. I actually go on the other side of the field. For me, the Sauce Gardner thing, I'm not the biggest Sauce Gardner fan. I think he's a good player that gets away with a lot, and he stopped getting away with as much recently, and he started complaining early this year. I'm just not a big fan of him. I don't think he's as good as he gets credit. That doesn't mean he's not a really good player, and that doesn't mean that he won't get away with stuff now playing in the blue and white of Indianapolis, because they're a good team right now. I think it's harder for him because at least with these guys, Zane is a kicker, completely different. But Stubbs's been around it. To me, for Sauce Gardner to get there, I'm assuming Indianapolis is leaving the same day we are, which is late Thursday. Maybe they're leaving today. But he's got to get in the system. I actually could see them holding him for a week and just saying, you know what? Get an extra bye, get acclimated and everything, and because that's a lot. And to come in and play in a defense because Stuber is a backup. He's a guy you hope
he's on a paid vacation right now. Yeah.
He's a guy you hope doesn't play.
Yeah.
You're asking Sauce Gardner to step in and play in a different defense. Don't know the similarities of the two defenses. I know it's corner, but to step in and just do stuff, it might be best to say, you know what? We think we're okay, but I could be completely off. He might be out there starting, playing every snap.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I don't think he's just going to play every snap, but I do think that there'll be a role for him, right? I think they'll go into certain situations where the call is some kind of man coverage, some kind of press coverage on the outside, and they're like, hey, just go out there and do what you do. You know what I mean? But if there's some kind of exotic, cover three, like all this kind of invert stuff, I don't think he's going to be able to do that. And maybe that does give, our offensive personnel a little bit of a hand up and kind of say, well, he's going to be in man coverage because he doesn't really know the defense at this point. Maybe he knows two or three calls. But I think the interesting thing for me, to go back to the Stuber really quick before we have to move on, if Chris Lindstrom and Matthew Bergeron are out, Javon Gwynn stepped in for Chris Lindstrom when he went down at the end of the game the other day. He was the one turned around looking at Michael Penix's leg lift. I'm not sure that they would feel comfortable starting Javon Gwynn at guard. We just talked about the flexibility on game day. He is a center by trade. I don't know that he's ever taken a snap at guard in an NFL game until the other day. I cannot imagine that that's the route they would go to start him at guard in his third year after having not played at all hardly the first couple of years. I would wonder if Stuber just straight up would slot in. If Kyle Hinton is not available at right guard and he has to go at left, I would think Stuber would probably be the option to step right off the street and step right into that role. Thank God he was here during training camp and knows the offense and can get up to speed really quick. But it'll be interesting to see what that injury report looks like after today's practices and heading into Germany.
Yeah, real quick on that. I mean, I honestly could see maybe Stuber being the guy that starts. They have Raekwon O'Neal on the practice squad. He could maybe be a guy that gets popped up too. He's been a tackle by trade, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you trust him. If I don't know what your role. See, I still know the role for Stuber, but it's starting to feel more like maybe a guard if they're really, really worried about Lindstrom, or, and it could be bad news. This signing might be a bad news that we hear about today. You know, they don't tell you anything until Wednesday. You're never going to get, unless it's 100%, you knew it was out the moment the guy went down. And Mike can probably back this up a little bit, but they're not going to tell you at a Monday press conference. They're going to wait and see. And then Wednesday, they'll give you that news. I mean, remember how we heard about the guys going day to day or week to week?
Which ones was the foot?
Lindstrom.
Lindstrom was the foot.
It was an ankle.
Was the ankle.
Yeah, Lindstrom was a foot.
Man.
And he's had a foot issue before, too.
I was going to say foot is
pretty.
Obviously, I've had both, but foot is the one where you go, a foot injury is not a like tweak.
If I'm getting the injury correct, he broke his foot the first game he ever played in the NFL's regular season game against Minnesota.
Yikes. That is not fun. Well, coming up, obviously the Falcons are going to face the Colts in Berlin this weekend. We've turned the page on that Patriots game. We're looking ahead to see what they're up against. We'll analyze it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odd.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out behind the glass, and Smar, you can join Dukes and Bell slash Mark Zeno at Buffalo's Cafe and Hiram as we get you set for Thursday night football. They'll be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 while enjoying all the great food and drinks at Buffalo Cafe. And you can be part of the action. It's Dukes and Bell at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram tomorrow 2 to 6. Bo, are you all packed, ready to go for Berlin?
Not at all. I haven't even started. I was working on my fridge all day yesterday, so I didn't get a chance, or all afternoon. But I'll probably start that today. I'm going to try to go by Hydrate, get an IV, some vitamins.
Oh, flight, so smart.
I'm trying to do that today. It just takes a few minutes. I got to get a haircut today. I got to start washing clothes. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy day in Squid Nation.
Hey, Bo.
Hey, Dylan.
Was your refrigerator running?
Oh, here we go.
I'm not even responding.
That's a dad joke.
Well, you better go catch
it. That's a dad joke. Somebody cut this man's microphone immediately.
All right. I'll see myself out.
I don't know what's worse, your jokes or your top five list. But yeah, so I'm going to try to do all of that today. So I know I'm not, Allie. I'm not ready.
Is it just as simple as you'll just throw an extra set of clothes in there? Like, what's the weather going to be like? I know you already know this.
It's from what I saw a day ago, it's literally going to be pretty much the exact same weather we had in New England.
Okay.
Which is
crispy.
High 30s, low 50s, crispy. Yeah, that's right. Like a lot of my chicken crispy. But it's going to be okay. So, you know, I'm going to take a pair of sweatpants, jogging pants, probably a pair of jeans and a couple hoodies and roll.
I didn't hear you say your wallet. Make sure you pack that wallet.
You know what? You forget your wallet one time when you go to Europe, and you never hear the end of it.
One time I left my wallet during international travel.
I mean, I'm going to tell you something. The be-all of be-alls. Like, I get on the plane, and you hear the kunk and kunk. Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff. And I go, I'm going to grab my AirPods. And I have my wallet in a certain part of my my bag, my travel bag. What? What's wrong back there? Arch yells at me. I think I forgot my wallet. And so luckily the team had my passport. So the team they confiscate, but they ask for it. They have stuff and they give it to you.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to keep it. They want it back. I'm like, so you don't lose it. And I'm like, I'm gonna need it. I'm gonna need mine. They didn't ID me or nothing. They didn't card me or nothing over there. Sold me booze.
Well, it's Europe. They
Apple
start
Pay
drinking
on my phone.
When they're like 6 years old. So
yeah, touche. Yeah.
It's not
bunch
a big deal.
Bunch of luscious.
All right. So clearly the Falcons are heading to Berlin this week. Bo will be in tow. They're playing the Colts on Sunday. You two were watching film this morning. Any initial takeaways on the Colts offense?
They're good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. Their offensive line's good. They do a number of things well, and it's going to be a battle. I think my biggest takeaway, and maybe this is just – maybe I'm just scarred from watching so much Falcons tape. They just – they're so multiple. You know what I mean? Like, they have sets where they're under center with two tight ends and, like, an ace. They can go four wide, shotgun. Like, they do it all, man. They're so freaking multiple in the way they approach things, and – you just never know where the ball is going on any given play. You obviously respect the players they do have. Tyler Warren has done a really nice job in his rookie year. Daniel Jones probably needs to be a little bit better in terms of, ball security. But they have guys that are very, very capable, out there. And I know that Josh Downs is a local guy as well. They can do a lot of different things with this offense and the way they get it done. And they got a good offensive line to be able to push the pile in front of them.
They have what's going to be by the end of – By this time next year, Tyler Warren will be considered a top five tight end. They're really big up front. And I feel like, I feel like I say that. Their guards are just significantly, I feel like, larger than ours. Their interior, like, I think, is larger than ours.
For sure.
They do have playmakers over there. Like, the first drive that they had the football against Pittsburgh, they went right down the field and scored a touchdown. Mike's talking about the other looks. They were spread completely on that first drive.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had a tight end that was near the line of scrimmage on that. Like everybody was spread out, and it feels like they want to hit you to what Mike is saying in multiple ways. They want to show you this for a drive and then come back and you know, or they get you. It's the old Mark Richt line. They want to spread you out and then pound you up the middle. And that's exactly what they did against Pittsburgh in the first drive to the second drive.
Calm down a little bit over there.
Yo, I'm going to tell you something, though.
Tell me.
Well, I told you, Mark Richt said it, not me. I'm just using his technical term.
So it's aggressive,
it's
Mark.
It's a football term.
Calm down, man.
Pause for Mark Richt.
I'm glad we don't play Pittsburgh because I was watching, because I made a point to watch their offense today, the Indianapolis, is against Pittsburgh last week because they had some success against them. They held Jonathan Taylor to 45 yards rushing, which that guy's leading the league with almost 900. They are aggressive up front and they're active. They are just absolutely, they're just very physical, very aggressive. Constantly just quick flowing to the ball.
Well, speaking of pauses, Jim Bob Cooter has done a nice job with this offense up there for the Colts. And look, when you have the weapons you do, I think you plug into Daniel Jones and you go, all right, what is Daniel Jones really going to do? But Daniel Jones has been like, he's done enough. He's rising up these MVP ballots and he's doing different things and he's got a new nickname, which is really cool, but man, the pieces around him are really good. And I could not possibly be a bigger fan of Quentin Nelson. Tanner Bottolini, who is their center, is as technically sound as you will find at the center position. Braden Smith, a lot of SEC fans will know him. He's an eighth-year player out of Auburn. Used to love watching him play. He was part of that Kerryon Johnson offense they had in 2017. Really good player for them. And so they're just sound, man. They don't make mistakes other than last week when you turned the ball over as many times as you did. And, you went up against a pretty good defensive unit in Pittsburgh. I know they haven't been great all year, but they have the pieces like a TJ Watt to be able to get it done at times.
It's a solid point because Daniel Jones had 3 interceptions going into last week. He now has 6. So that means he doubled his interceptions, you know. And Quentin Nelson's a guy to me, Mike, that 3 years ago, he looked like he was 2 years into his league. He was considered the best guard in football.
So
all
good,
pro,
dude.
Just aggressive out of Notre Dame. Good player. By year 5, he was looked at as on his way out. I mean, he had probably the worst year of his career. He has had the last 2 years, he's been absolutely filthy. He's back to being that top player. So we haven't even touched on Jonathan Taylor. I haven't even touched on Jonathan Taylor, have we? I don't remember.
You just said a minute ago that he has almost 900 yards.
Yeah, but I mean, we haven't
one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the fact that he's like an MVP. He's kind of taken that mantle from Bijan after the first 5 games. Bijan was an MVP candidate, and then now Jonathan Taylor is kind of elevating himself into that. So he's not as good as Bijan as a receiving back, but he's still pretty freaking good.
Look, the final takeaway for me right here. They're the number one offense in the NFL in terms of scoring. It's 32.2 points per game. They're the number one offense in the NFL when it comes to that category. And if you are not on your P's and Q's and are ready for an absolute bar fight in the trenches, it will get out of hand in a hurry.
Yeah, and it's exactly what we talked about in the preseason and the offseason when they signed Daniel Jones, and everybody was like, well, they've given up on Anthony Richardson. You know why? Because Shane Steichen, and this is as much his offense as I believe as it is Jim Bob Cooter's. But Shane Steichen was at a crossroads. He was 17-17 or something like that in his NFL career as a head coach. And it was all because he couldn't find the quarterback. They had talent all over the roster. They went and added more talent than guys like Tyler Warren. And now look at them. They're considered the best team by many to be the best team in the AFC.
Where does this leave, and this is a question we can get into obviously at the top of the hour, but where does this leave Daniel Jones long term? You know what I mean? Like, is he viewed as a guy who is a catalyst for this offensive resurgence? Or do you think that Steichen looks at it and is like, I can't afford to pay this guy top quarterback money in the long run? Is this somebody that we need to develop somebody else there and we can move him out eventually?
I think we've talked about it. Like we talked about it last year with Sam Darnold. And if Sam Darnold doesn't fall off a cliff late last year in big games, especially with pressure in his face,
yeah,
I think he's still in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree.
to me, it's the exact same blueprint. It's the exact same blueprint that Minnesota used last year. And if Daniel Jones doesn't fall off a cliff and he stays healthy, he'll probably get one of those Geno Smith type deals that Geno just got in Vegas, or the one he got in Seattle, and say, you know, and this is what you are. And Daniel Jones would be absolutely just dumb not to jump on it, to me.
I agree.
We are going to continue this conversation at 7 o'clock, but coming up next, the college football playoff rankings are out, and we've got my Mac drop. A Georgia Tech grad has completely changed your experience when you watch a certain pro team here in Atlanta, and you may not have realized it. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan's hanging out behind the glass. Quick reminder, we have a poll up on Twitter that the guys will debate at 7:40 during Which One Wednesday. Will Freddie Freeman go into the Hall as a Dodger or a Brave? State your case if you want to get in on this debate at 9:29 Morning Shift. All right, the first round of college football playoff rankings were released last night. Georgia lands at 5. Alabama is 4. 3 is Texas A&M. 2 is Indiana. And number 1, the Buckeyes, Ohio State. So it's just over a month that remains until the final bracket is selected. How do you guys feel about these rankings?
Where do we even start? I got a lot of takeaways from this one. First and foremost, I'm not sure, and I don't know that it's Alabama and Georgia. I'm not so sure that the two championship games, the Big Ten and the SEC championship game, that all four of those teams that play are not just going to be the top four teams. And obviously it's different this year in terms of the seeding. It's not the automatic top four teams or conference champions. It's the best four teams. I would be curious. I mean, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying that it's Bama or Georgia against Texas A&M, or that Texas A&M can even make it. They have, you know, they have a couple of tough games left as well. But I think whoever plays in these games, if it's Indiana and Ohio State, if it's Bama, Texas A&M, or Georgia, Texas A&M, or Bama, Georgia, like I think all four of those teams are probably the top seeds. Like I just think that that's how it's going to sit, and you can see the value they have on those squads.
Big 12 could be the ACC from last year, having two teams in and it be the two teams that are in the championship game.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on that with BYU and Texas Tech and Utah just hanging around in the area. Miami being all the way down at 18, you know, we talked to Andy Staples yesterday, and he pretty much, when I asked him about the Notre Dame thing, because I told you guys, they're going to put Notre Dame inside of it, and if they do, to me, Notre Dame wins out. They're guaranteed in the playoff again. The two losses be damned, right?
Yeah.
And because one of those losses is looking really good, losing by 1 point at home to the third-ranked team in the college football playoff. And the other now is Miami, but with them being so low, that's weird to me that you have Notre Dame so high and Miami so low. What has Notre Dame done? Is the USC win for Notre Dame that much better than anything else that Miami has?
It's the quality of losses, though, right? I mean, that's essentially what it is. Their two losses look so much better than Miami's two losses.
And yes, but they have the head-to-head.
Yeah.
They have the head-to-head, and they have who's played a tougher schedule? I think it's very close.
I think it's tight. I think Miami has, but and I'm with you on that, man. I think that the ACC as a whole is in a rough spot. And Georgia Tech is part of that.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Georgia Tech at 17 at 8-1 with all those two-loss teams ranked in front of them. Now, here's what I will say, because I thought about Georgia Tech yesterday. I really think the committee kind of did them a favor at 24. Did you notice who was at 24? We talked about this yesterday. It's like, if you're going to devalue teams and move them down the way you did Tech, sometimes the committee will leave a bone on the backside. Pitt on the schedule for Georgia Tech. They slide into those top 25 rankings. Now, all of a sudden, that Pitt against Georgia Tech game becomes a top 25 matchup, and the committee's essentially saying, you want in, go win that game, and then beat Georgia.
Obviously, you can lose to Georgia if you beat Pitt. If you went out and put Boston College, and then you play maybe an undefeated in the ACC, Virginia, right? Because Virginia's 8-1. They're ahead. I think they're 15.
Yeah.
Actually, they're 14. So, yeah, it's really not a bad. You can lose. I think you can be a two-loss Georgia Tech team if one of the losses is to Georgia. But you also, in that case, you're going to have to win the ACC, so you're automatically in. So it doesn't really matter.
I was going to say the question for Georgia Tech, and it has less to do with Georgia Tech and more to do with the teams around them, is that could a ACC runner-up Georgia Tech with three losses, but their third loss is in the conference championship game, could they make it in? I don't think the answer is yes on that. Just because of the way they valued the ACC in this one.
I think you're right. I think you have to beat Georgia if you're going to lose the ACC title game. And then on the flip, if you beat Georgia and Georgia's already in the SEC title game, now what do they do with that if Georgia was to lose a Tech but beat Bama in a rematch, and then Bama hasn't – Bama doesn't lose again in the SEC title game. Georgia loses the Tech, but then Georgia beats Bama.
Oh, it's a mess.
Now you got
at
a little
point,
bit of
it's a mess.
Because you've got – because Georgia might have went on the neutral field, but Alabama went into Athens. But Georgia's the SEC champion. That log jam right there. Now Tech has lost the ACC title game. So they've got two losses that way. But they beat Georgia on a neutral field. Now that's where it gets a little sloppy.
I will say this much. I know that Bama fans are going to be mad at me for saying this. I'd be just fine if Bama were to slip up against like an Oklahoma and ain't playing in Atlanta in the first weekend in December. That wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. I loved it. Dude, loved the SEC championship game more than most. Played in it twice. Incredible atmosphere, incredible game. Just doesn't carry the weight anymore that it once did, and it's more of a roadblock than it is a pathway. It just is, and so I'm good on that.
And it probably has to be Oklahoma. I'm not sure if one of those other losses. I personally think Alabama is one of the best, easily one of the best six teams in the country, much less 12. But if you lose to a lesser team that just fired their coach like LSU, or you go into Auburn and lose. It's a little bit harder to justify putting you in, even though to me at two losses, Alabama should automatically be in because they have the quality. They have some good wins.
I was going to say, if you're a 10-2 Bama team and you played the teams that you did and beat the teams you did, which was four straight ranked opponents, I think you're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Especially where you started in the playoff.
Yes. Here's the other takeaway I have, and I know we'll get away from this in just a second. I'm going to tell you who took a huge L, the group of five. I don't know if you guys noticed where the group of five is. Memphis is not even in the poll, but you have to put them in the bracket because the highest ranked group of five team. How do they even come to that? Is this just others receiving votes? Is Memphis just in that category where they got a couple of votes, but they didn't even make the top 25, and now it's got to put somebody in. That's a huge mistake in the format.
What's the verbiage say? Do you have to be inside the top 20 or something like that? I don't think it does. I think
it doesn't. It's just highest ranked.
Yeah, so they're ranking them they're probably ranking them all the way to 50 or maybe just or all the way to the first top group of five maybe.
They're just stopping there.
Yeah, they're like, we got Memphis.
Dude, there's no way that's what it is.
Memphis is at Memphis came in at 29, so we don't need to do 30 to 120.
I would lose so much faith because can you imagine that one guy who's sleepy over in the corner who's like, it's nap time, and he's going, just put Memphis, for the love, just put Memphis
in
there, man.
Can we just put him 26?
Who cares at this point? We're at 33. Just throw him in there. Let's go home. I'm done.
Well, when you look at it, when you go to the – It's everything that you see stops at 25. So
it's a mess. It's a mess.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. We should be able to include Notre Dame in that, like the Group of Five thing. They're not in a conference. We should be able to include them in that conversation.
At this point, I'm sorry, but do we really need to see Boise and Memphis? I mean,
it's cool when they're in the top 25. It's cool when they're like undefeated teams and it's Tulane or whatever.
It's cool,
like, that's
cool until the game plays.
Right. And then it's not fun.
It's not cool anymore.
Memphis beat Arkansas. That was a huge W. And now you look at Arkansas and you're like, dude, I don't know that was that cool.
Everybody in the country was completely shocked and just baffled that Arizona State here, who's the Big 12 champion, hung with Texas last year. And then, I mean, one of the greatest seasons of all time by running back that Ashton Jeanty had last year.
Yep.
They looked completely overmatched against Penn State.
Yeah, they looked terrible.
Well, we will get that final bracket in just over a month. Now, Lane Kiffin, we've been talking about him a lot. A lot of head coaching jobs open. A lot of places want Lane Kiffin. LSU fans are taking matters into their own hands. They're trying to lure Lane Kiffin to LSU through Garth Brooks. So Lane posted a video of Ole Miss singing Friends in Low Places, the entire stadium singing, right? LSU fans are now tagging him in videos of LSU singing Call 'Em Baton Rouge. And saying, might enjoy this a little bit more, buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I, like I said, I've talked about this before, going to Baton Rouge is one of my favorite memories from college. I mean, hearing that song sang, and I think a lot of SEC teams now have that into third quarter song. You know, it's Tom Petty, it's Dixieland Delight. But man, that when you hear him come on them speakers down there in Death Valley, there's another feel to that
one. And there's no comparison between the Ole Miss video and LSU.
I'm sure.
The atmosphere is just insane.
Well, yeah. Money talks, and the state of Louisiana is ranked 50th in economic wealth in the country out of 50. So, I how are they going to pay him? You know, your governor's leading the charge here. How are you going to pay him? That's what Lane wants to know. Pay me. Lane's like in the movie Goodfellas, when it's like you get in business with the mob, blank you, pay me. That's what Lane Kiffin's saying, right? I don't care about Garth Brooks. Pay me. Pay me. Pay me. That's all he cares about. He wants to get paid.
It's an interesting way of looking at that.
University of Florida can pay him.
I was just about to say, here we go.
And his wife.
By the way, he's at Mississippi. I don't know that they're faring much better.
Why he's going to go to Florida. His father-in-law was a legend at UF. I mean, come on. Look, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
I mean, you got the Yellowwood guy in Auburn. He can pay you. Plus, you really want to deal with the governor on a weekly basis? Come on, just no.
I don't know, man. I don't know if we're done with coaching openings.
Oh, we're
yet.
Not.
So
we're not.
That's a good point. Yeah.
There's no way.
I think.
I'll tell you something. Mario Cristobal blows another game or two. Miami likes changing coaches.
Oh, they ain't getting rid of Cristobal.
Yeah,
he's one of their own, man.
They changed coaches like tank tops down there. Yeah. They ain't afraid.
Yeah, well, they do the same thing with quarterbacks recently. So it kind of is what it is. I think they're riding the wave.
Well, each Wednesday night, you can join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles Low Prices. Love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights. That's tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, I don't know if you realize this, but really smart kids go to Georgia Tech.
I've been told.
Yes.
I've been told. I have no idea what those grades look like, but I've been told.
I almost went there.
Did you?
No.
Me either. Not even close. So while attending Georgia Tech, Sam Porta developed technology. He got kind of annoyed with the lines at food halls. Like, it took a while. So he developed the technology for sensors to track occupancy. And so he then put out like a data board so people would see like, oh, this dining hall only has an 8-minute wait. This line only has five-minute wait.
Wow.
It was great, right? It was so popular. He developed a company called Q's. And he's expanded this technology. Truist Park enlisted him for some help because at their team store, they are having issues with a long wait. You've seen the lines at Truist Park to get into that store.
Yeah.
Up to 45 minutes wait. And you want to be out watching the game, right? So last year, they installed 18 sensors of Sam's sensors around the team store. And he tracked occupancy, how long it took for someone's experience through the team store. And they have now gotten it down to sometimes 8 minutes for a wait.
Wow.
So he can track where the bottlenecks are. He has set up like
smart.
Like you go in and out.
So are they adjusting setup of the, and I don't know if you know this, but are they like adjusting the setup of the store based on where it was bottlenecking and maybe moving like the popular stuff to the back?
They didn't do this at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah.
They didn't do this at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, everything was tracked. Basically, Truist was saying before Sam got involved, they needed to reduce the lines for fans. They wanted to maximize store utilization and increase store revenue. He's done all of that.
Dude.
Now, top of that, you know, we had the All-Star game.
That's right.
So someone from the Kansas City Royals noticed the efficiency, and they have enlisted Sam his company to do it there.
Good for Sam.
Insane.
Sam, feel free to fill Allie's Venmo, my Venmo, and Mike's Venmo for this free pub, since you're a local guy.
Doesn't sound like he needs any pub.
No.
I will say this as well. I always wonder why they don't, because you know how that one gate by the battery at Truist gets backed up?
Yes.
The one, you know. Like, why don't they have, like, a sign over the top that's, like, wait times? You know, like they do at airports,
Sam.
And it's like the south or the north gate is actually less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Walk around. We're waiting an hour at this one, and there's nobody at this one. I'm like, you should just put a sign that says wait times all the way around.
Yeah. How many gates are at Truist, you think?
Six.
See,
I guess six.
Because when they built MBS, and I was there, like, multiple times when they were building it, and I never realized what they were doing. They only built, like, three gates.
Yeah, but those gates are like 30 wide.
And that's the thing is I thought like the first time I was like, this is going to be a debacle. And it never has been because they are so freaking wide.
Yeah,
they're gigantic.
I wonder if, and I don't know about the new state, because every time I go to a stadium, I don't ever go into a gate. I'm lucky. I can't.
He's going to hurt his back dropping that. You know what I mean?
But
let me pick that up.
It is a thing that if you wonder why they don't put more, and it's harder to put a lot of like wide gates at a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Just based on the design.
Well, coming
good
up.
Good for Sam.
I know. Good for Sam. So
thank you,
proud
Sam.
To have him as a Georgia
and thank
Tech
you.
Alum.
Thank you for helping us at Truist with the store.
Sam is a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer.
He's a rambler?
Not quite, but sure, we can go with that.
Coming up, we're going to get back into the Falcons conversation. They are heading to, I know, I messed up yesterday. All right, they're heading to Germany. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.